Just welcome everyone to the December Council meeting of Brighton Council. Welcome to councillors and welcome to our senior staff. I'll begin by just advising that in accordance with Regulation 8 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulations 2025, the chairperson is to make a verbal statement at the beginning of the meeting to the effect that an audio recording is being made of this meeting. All persons attending this meeting are to be respectful of and considerate towards other persons attending the meeting, and language and conduct at the meeting that could be perceived as offensive, defamatory or threatening to a person attending the meeting or listening to the recording is not acceptable. Item 2 is acknowledgement of country, and Brighton Council acknowledges the Palawa Pakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledged the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 3 is apologies and requests for leave of absence. There is one apology, and that is Councillor Whelan. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Murtagh, second by Councillor Curran. And I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4 is notification of leave of absence, parental leave, and there aren't any. Item 5 is confirmation of minutes, and item 5.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 18th of November 2025. They're included in our agenda and submitted for confirmation. Is there any questions, concerns or amendments? If not, is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Moving on, item 6 is a declaration of interest. Would anyone like to declare an interest in anything on the agenda this evening? We have no declarations of interest. Item 7 is public question time and deputations. Item 7.1, public questions on notice. There aren't any. And there are no members of the public gallery. Item 8 is councillors' question time. Item 8.1 was councillors' questions on notice, and there aren't any. Item 2 is councillors' questions without notice. Would there be any councillors that would wish to ask a question? I'll hand over to Councillor Owen.
Mayor, it's just that the public question time deputations, I want to use this opportunity to say something, if I may. And I went to the presentation awards at the Jordan River Learning Federation Senior School last week, and was rather impressed with something I saw, and I wish to share that with you. From their social page, it reads, "Our talented students have been busy creating something truly special. They wrote and recorded their own song, then brought it to life with a film clip they made themselves. It's very creative."
Sorry.
Here we go.
It's
all right. Let it run. Volume.
Thank you.
Wow, that's really
good. Now, just continue reading. We're so proud of their creativity, teamwork and dedication. Please enjoy what is in it for us, what in it for you, what's in it for us. Written and recorded by the Curious Beats team, a fantastic showcase of what our students can achieve.
Yeah,
wow.
Good.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Thanks, Councillor Rowan. Item 9 is reports from Council, and item 9.1 is the Mayor's communications for the month of, or part of the month of November and December. Is there any questions or in regards to any of those particular items? If not, is someone prepared to move that those be received? Moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor McMaster. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Item 9.2 is reports from Council representatives. Councillor Della Torre.
Yeah, thanks. Best go first. Councillors will notice from the attachments to our agenda this evening that the Youth Justice and Early Intervention Steering Group met for the first time last month. Don't have the exact date here, sorry. But the group has started work on reviewing the grants that have been awarded as part of that program. Four grants were awarded in round one. Under One Rainbow received a grant for a video series called You Can Ask Me That. The Material Institute have a community event and Brighton Storybook. And Sutcliffe, a young resident of our municipality, started the Pop-Up Youth Cafe. And our Brighton Youth Action Group got funding for a video series on youth safety. So the steering group met to discuss how we will continue keeping up with the progress of those and starting the process for the next round of funding. So $56,000 was awarded in round one. We've got $244,000 left for round two. So I'd encourage councillors to get onto any community groups in the area that you know, because there is funding available for youth justice and early intervention issues in our area. They are contemplating a round three if we need it, so we can use the funding, but that'll be subject to government approval. And secondly, I attended Holy Rosary Catholic School due to a connection I have with the school to present a civics and citizenship lesson on local government to the grade four students. We discussed the role of local government and councillors, the varied roles and responsibilities of councils in the state, answered a bunch of questions from the kids, and we reviewed a range of Brighton Council's master plans and discussed how they're created, consulted on, and actioned.
Beautiful. Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Owen.
Yes, Mayor, thank you. I did attend the presentation assembly for the JRLF Senior School, as previously mentioned. I ended up there in an official capacity to present Council's awards and they had sponsored. I also attended the funeral of one of our champions of the municipality, Bill Griffith, who passed away in November. Bill was 97 years old, spent a lot of time in the community and is a well-known figure. He was the king of the king. Christmas pageants for years. Mm. Bill had a very interesting life. He left home at 8. And lived in a brickyard for 4 years. Built himself a little cubby out of bricks. And he finally went home. He was a victim of abusive households and whatnot. And just an unbelievable life that that man had led. And when you consider an eight-year-old, when I look at my eight-year-old granddaughter, and think a person that age having to leave home to escape violence, and to be the end up to being the sort of person he was. So it was a very, very emotional event. And today, earlier, I attended the online a meeting with Cycling South, and probably the only interesting thing that came out of that, well, it was all interesting, but the most interesting was that e-scooters can't use bike paths legally. So they're pursuing some chat about whether or not we can make it legal to have e-scooters to use bike parks. It is illegal under the law, and as far as the road rules are concerned, they're considered as pedestrians, and they're not covered there either, so it needs to be a bit of sorting out.
So it seems like almost a safety issue. I mean, it's, if they're pedestrians, they should be on the footpath, and therefore, you know, but they're going 20 and 25 k's an hour, and
some of them might be the scooters that's faster, unfortunately, as well.
So
thanks, Councillor.
Right. Thank you. Is there anything further from any other councillors?
Yep.
Councillor Curran.
I'm sorry, did you want to... No,
you.
In my role as Deputy Mayor and also as being involved with the Brighton Play Centre Playgroup, I was invited to their last social function ever, which was, it must be an emotional month. It was very, very emotional because that's been running since the early 1990s. I know that because I started it. But there are so many children who have benefited through that, as you would know, Lee. So many children, so many parents. The stories that came out of that evening were really funny and happy and at the same time really sad. It will be very sad to see that close, but the building has come to the end of its life and the children will move on. But they wanted to thank Council for their support over the years. So I just thought I would tell you all that.
Thanks, Councillor Curran. Councillor Irons.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yesterday, myself and Councillor Murtagh attended the Herdsman's Cove, I think you call it presentation, assembly at the Brighton Civic Centre. It was great to see a number of kids get awards for all sorts of things. Really interesting to see some of the awards are like things around IT and stuff like that now, which we never used to see, and a couple of standouts who won multiple awards. So I think it was also particularly great just to see so many parents that were there to support, which is obviously often very hard on a weekday for people. So that was great to be at. And then on the 28th of November in the morning, went along to a workshop, so the End Racism workshop, which we know our esteemed leader James has had a lot to do with setting up in the first place, and it was really well attended by the councils that were there, and it was emotional is probably a good word. Really, a number of hours there. I think one thing I really wanted to share that stood out for me personally was the very first speaker of the day, who mentioned that, you know, on a weekly basis, she's based in the northwest of the state, I think it was Devonport, but on a weekly basis, you know, she's told, you know, you're taking our jobs, you're clogging up our streets, you know, you're taking our houses. This is someone who's lived here for many, many years and been a very active part of our community. And it really made me stop and think, because I'm an immigrant myself. I came here when I was 1.5 years old from South Africa. And it occurred to me, not once has anyone ever said that to me because of the way that I look. You know, and it is simply because of that. And so to me, that was very, very eye-opening, that could have been me, could have been anyone. Well, we're all immigrants, really, at the end of the day. So, but some really powerful speeches there that certainly left me feeling very motivated. And I think one really clear message that came out of that was all of these people that are in our community and often new to our community, the main thing they want is just to connect with other people in our community. And it really got us thinking, how do we do that? Because, you know, it's very hard if you put on an event, you've got to get other people from the community to come. So I think we all need to be thinking about how we can, almost by stealth, but yes, if there's events, if we can bring in new members of our community and have everyone intermingling together so everyone crosses paths and it's not just what they see in the media. And as we know, the events over the last week are not going to do any favours for anyone. Been a horrific week there. But, yeah, it was a fantastic workshop and I hope we remain very active in that space, and we're very aware that there are a lot of different cultures in our municipality now, which is a fantastic thing. We need to celebrate that and nurture as much as we can a sense of community. Then in the evening of the 28th, I went to the mosque, the Ada Mosque, for their open dinner.
I left very full. The food was absolutely unbelievable, predominantly Indonesian food, and lots of options for me, which was fantastic. In fact, the little, I don't know what they're called, these little green coconut ball things that were full of sugar. Oh, we're now making them for our family Christmas under their careful guidance. They've got the chief cook guiding me through how to make those. But look, again, I have to say it was about 35 people there, and again, just a wonderful bunch of people that are all living in that region, in our community, and you know, along the same vein, hearing some of the challenges that they've had, and these are people that are donating their time, their money, everything to our community, and just want to make our community a better place, and they're super keen to get more involved in anything they can. So we'll certainly continue some discussions with them there and see how that goes. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Anything further? If not, can I have someone move that those reports be received? Moved by Councillor McMaster, seconded by Councillor Irons. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 10 is miscellaneous correspondence. And we've had a letter from the Minister for Local Government dated the 8th of December in regard to the draft local electoral bill. And also a letter from the Minister for Regional Development, Local Government and Territories, Christine McBain, regarding inquiry into local government funding and fiscal sustainability. Those two pieces of correspondence have been included in our agenda this evening. Item 11 is notification of council workshops. There was one workshop held on the 2nd of December in regards to Tivoli Green Master Plan, Pondville Precinct and Priorities for Major Unfunded Projects. The attendance and apologies are listed in our agenda. Item 12 is notice of a motion. There are no notice of a motion. Item 13 is consideration of supplementary items. There are no supplementary items. Item 14 is reports from committees, and 14.1 is the order panel minutes of the 26th of September. There is a recommendation that Council receive the minutes of the audit panel meeting held on the 26th of September and adopt the panel's recommendations.
Mr. Mayor, just one correction to those minutes, if I may. We have an incorrect meeting closing time. I don't think it finished at 11:37 p.m.
Definitely not. I'd have been asleep.
For the members of that committee, any idea what time you finished?
The AM, I reckon.
Sorry?
AM.
AM? Yep. Beautiful.
I'm happy to move that they be accepted by that amendment.
Carry on, you know.
Aye.
What the talk
about. Yeah. Dollars and cents.
When that small amendment, is someone...
No,
someone prepared to move. Moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Geard. Any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 15 is petitions. There are no petitions tabled this evening. Item 16 is council acting as a planning authority. Just remind councillors that we are acting under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, and all decisions must be in accordance with that act. Item 16.1 is a planning assessment report for 29 Willis Street, Bridgewater, for a secondary residence, and I'll hand over to Joan.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So this application is for a secondary dwelling. You may previously have known it as a granny flat or an auxiliary dwelling. The current planning scheme calls it a secondary dwelling. The application is discretionary in relation to the building envelope. And you will see from the report that the bottom edge of it, the southern edge, sits outside that building envelope. Just going back to the definition for secondary dwelling, that means that all car parking, access, infrastructure services, wheelie bins unless they apply and pay an additional fee, etc., has to be shared. Telephone lines, if you were to have a landline. So under the scheme, it's deemed as being appurtenant to the single dwelling, so forming part of the single dwelling, and therefore we can't ask for additional car parking, etc., which was covered in correspondence yesterday. Where are we at? So the planning officer addressed the performance criteria in relation to impact on adjoining properties. And he arose at the conclusion that due to the siting of the dwelling, the setbacks, use of building materials, etc., that the secondary dwelling can meet the performance criteria. Two representations were received, and then they raised concerns relating to privacy, noise, and visual impact. The visual impact was addressed under the performance criteria. In relation to privacy, the building meets the acceptable solutions that are set out in the planning scheme, so we weren't able to consider that any further. And the issues around noise, we've dealt with construction noise through our standard permit condition, which is linked to the EMCA noise regulations. So that's included in there. And there was also a concern around residential noise, but given that the property is within the general residential zone, there's not a lot of that we can do. If there's any other sort of late noise effects, that is something for the police to deal with. So accordingly, the application is recommended for approval with conditions.
Thanks, Jo. Councillors, are there any questions of Jo in regards to this particular application?
Just a question on the height. Looks like it'll meet under the metre level mark.
So yes, yes. Yeah. So
the way 8. I could 5. Read it here, it did, so I was quite happy. Yeah. That's good because I was wondering about, you had a height.
Yeah, so essentially the finished floor level on the lower side is less than a metre.
Yeah.
And you add that onto a single-storey dwelling, which, you know,
yeah, looks like it'd be 4 metres. So. Me, a bit less.
Yeah, part of it was close to 900, so...
Yeah. Otherwise they'd have to take a cut out, which would have to put a retaining wall. They haven't got the room for it.
Yeah.
Any further questions? Not, we have a recommendation on page 15, which is for approval subject to conditions. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Geard. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17 is the officer's reports, and item 17.1 is the youth engagement worker progress report from August to October of this year. And hand over to Ange for a summary.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Mayor. I will just highlight a couple of things in John's report. He couldn't be here this evening that are perhaps not the regular items. He has been doing some extra drumming with the djembe drums at Gagebrook Primary. We had a call from Gagebrook Primary at the beginning of this term. They had quite a few dysregulated kids and asked if we could support them through this term. So John was able to go and do his djembe drumming, some extra sessions over and above the intergenerational work that he's been doing. And they've been extremely grateful for those and have thanked us very much for doing that. The need for that drumming, I think it was probably a reflection of under the key observations. John has been informed by the police that a lot of their time in our municipality is taken up with domestic and family violence calls and issues. So that really is the biggest issue that our police deal with in our area at the moment, and that has increased this year for them. I think we have mentioned this before, but we are getting quite a bit of interest from philanthropic organisations around how they might be able to invest in our area, mainly because of our approach in the area with our asset-based community development and place-based work that we do. They can see that we're doing some really effective things in the municipality and are really interested in learning from it. But I think we mentioned previously the Mindaroo Foundation through a consultant has been really interested in what we're doing, have come back for a second time and may want to come back and work further with us, particularly interested in the work that we've done in the youth justice space with DSIP and the way that we've used the governance structures around that, because obviously there's lots of concerns for philanthropic organisations, the hand over the money, how is that going to be managed? So they're really interested in the governance approaches that we've taken. with that to make sure it's still community-based, but there's some safeguards there around how the money's being used as well. I don't know how many actually saw some pictures or went to the Christmas pageant, but that was a little showcase of how active our Brighton Youth Action Group is in terms of their advocacy work. So they used their bus to highlight a message around fairer transport for the area, mental health services, the need for the increased need for those, and also their concerns around food security. So that we're certainly getting some interest because of the work that they're doing there. So these are all things that John actively has supported in the last quarter. And, yeah, I can answer any questions if you had them and otherwise refer them to John.
Councillors, any questions on the report? If there's no questions, there's a recommendation that the Council receives and notes the information in the Youth Engagement Workers Progress Report, August to October 2025. Moved by Councillor Della Torre, seconded by Councillor Irons. And I'll put that, unless...
I'd just like to thank John for his work. He's been instrumental in delivering a lot of these outcomes that we're seeing in the community. Very glad to have him on board.
And I'll second that, Mr. Mayor. Just seeing him in action, directly in action, with these kids, he connects with them so well, his ability to change his approach and communication depending on where he is and who he's talking to. And you know, I just think the value of this and connecting with our youth just cannot be put into it. I think it's worth every dollar we put into it. So, yeah, very impressed with John's work.
And he's covering across a lot of board topics as well, so drumming as well and everything else, and children as well. And the teenagers, so it's really probably one of the best things that's happened, I reckon, in the area.
Probably scaring the wildlife away, though.
Oh, well, that's all right.
Not a big deal.
I did attend the Christmas carols, and the drums were at the Christmas carols, and he kindly gave one of the drums to my two granddaughters, and they enjoyed it immensely, and probably played just a little bit too much. But anyway, they came away with smiles on their faces. So is there anything further, councillors? Not. We have that recommendation that's been moved and seconded, and I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 17.2 is the removal of the major impact grant from our budget and the reallocation of funds. And my handing over to you, Ange, or Gillian.
I'll just do the quick reminder of how we...
Well, I can start if you like, and then hand over to you.
Okay.
So, councillors will recall, close to 2 years ago, we talked about we used to have $80,000 in the budget, which originally was just went straight to PCYC for youth work, and then we reshaped our grant program, and we had that there briefly as a major impact grant. We only had that 1 year, and we weren't super confident in the proposals that came forward, and the one that we ultimately selected kind of fell apart, but it was around effectively a youth worker for the municipality. So we took the decision to create a position and employ a youth worker. Since that time, we've discussed the whole issue of having a major impact grant and feel that it's not a very smart move of council for a number of reasons. I think, you know, it's a big amount of money, and there's pressure on council, I guess, if you get several applications that you should give it to at least one of them, and it's difficult if you're not confident or happy in any of them. I think we also find as a council that if there are good ideas in the community, people will come forward regardless of the grants and talk to us about that. So this is really, we did say at the time, we'd come back to council and see how we were going. Also during that period, look, I couldn't be happier with how things are going in the community development team. I'd really like to consolidate the resources that we have within that team for a few years and really see how we go at making a big impact in the community. The other thing that's extremely pleasing to me and really aligns with what we have in all our strategies about, you know, as a small council with scarce resources, how do we make a bigger impact with minimal resources? And a lot of that is around collaboration and partnerships. And, you know, even in the last 12 months, the community development team has brought in $1.5 million that didn't exist before in this community for community development. And that's, you know, $900,000 today, which Councillor Owen witnessed the deed signing. There's the $300,000 that Councillor Della Torre just spoke about. don't admit that, Phil. And, you know, we've got Towers funding a position here. So, we, you know, the amount that we're getting out of this really small team is quite remarkable. And with the interest of philanthropic organisations and so on as well, I think, like, for me personally, we should be putting our energy and resources into consolidating that work and that team for a few years and not continuing with the major impact grant. Did you have anything to add, Gillian? Or
I was just going to say, with a major impact grant, council runs a risk of a really good idea and then once the funding comes to an end, having to fund that as well, like, because people's perception is that, oh, okay, yep, that's a great idea, let's keep it going. So it is like a, like, you might have somebody has one idea and then in a few years' time, like, council's, yep, let's keep funding that, but somebody else might come in with another good idea as well. Like, it's not an indefinite pot of money. So I think to actually assign that money to the youth worker position, like, council is actually getting that youth worker, but that youth worker is not just a youth worker. It's that he's working with the seniors of the community as well and engaging them more. The youth, the domestic violence. He's got a really good background in what he does, and he believes in those kids. And I think if you take that that person, you could probably fill it that position. Like, again, but would you get that person? Like, it's, I'm not making any sense, but it's just like, you know what I mean.
That made sense.
Yeah.
Very happy to move.
Ange, anything to add?
Or? No, nothing.
No, cool. Councillors, any questions? If not, we have a recommendation that council reallocate the major impacts grant fund for council with youth engagement and community development functions and activities more generally, including human resources. And that's been moved by Councillor Owen and seconded by Councillor Della Torre. Councillor Owen, would you like to speak to the motion?
It makes perfect sense. Gillian explained it very well. No, it just means that we've got control over it on an ongoing basis rather than allocating that sort of money. Somebody else out there, and then all of a sudden they're not the flavour of the month, and you've got to take that grant away from them, and that creates serious problems.
Thanks, Councillor. Councillor Della Torre.
I don't have anything else to add. I think the officers have covered it remarkably well. I think the funds are doing much more than $80,000 worth of value in our community. I thank the officers for giving that a shot and taking on the risk earlier on. I'm glad to see it move over into business as usual.
Thank you. Councillors, anything further?
Totally agree. That amount of money, because people expect them to get it one year, they expect it the next year. It's a bit like having eggs laying in the chickens and you can't feed them. So it's like you said, mentioned, there could be other things there. So, and I totally agree, people will come out of the woodwork and come up with good ideas, and that's up to us. If we can adapt for it and help them out in that respect, we can. You know, either financially or we get external for grants. So it doesn't stop them people coming forward to us. So I think it's a very good idea to pull it back.
Thank you. Is there anything further? If there's nothing further, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 7.3 is the Tivoli Green Park Master Plan. We'll hand over to Joe, and obviously we had a workshop on this last week.
So I'll keep it fairly brief because you were at the workshop last week. So I'd just like to reiterate that during the consultation process we had some really strong support for the park. And the main features were creating a safe, inclusive and ecologically sensitive public space to be used, which I think works in with that Tivoli Green area and the wetlands and everything like that. We have our other larger parks and Lennox, and the master plan for Lennox as well that creates more of that play space sort of activity centre. So this is more of a passive recreational space that's proposed. Also like to thank contributions from Tivoli Green Proprietary Limited as landowners and their contribution and input into the plan and to make sure that everything works with future subdivision and infrastructure, etc. So, yeah, it's just recommended for endorsement along with the associated reports that form part of the attachments.
Excellent. Thanks, Jo. Councillors, are there any further questions of Jo on the Tivoli Green Master Plan? If not, is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor McMaster, seconded by Councillor Irons. Councillor McMaster, you wish to speak to the motion? Thank you. Councillor
Irons? Yeah, it was great to see in the workshop. I love the wetlands and the natural sort of feel of it and everything else. And it's still a relatively new dad. I probably didn't value parks as much as I do now, realising how important they are. And I'm pretty lucky. I've got a couple of pretty good backyards, but for people who don't, I think having these things accessible for people, but also hopefully fairly low maintenance as well, which I think is really good going forward. But yeah, I think it's a really good plan. Looking forward to it. We won't have canoes or whatever you want.
Paddle
boats. absolutely. But no, it's really good.
Thank I like you. It with all ages.
Yep. Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to second Councillor Irons' comments there and mention the kids at Holy Rosary did look over this one. It's one of the master plans we explored. Had no negative feedback. Really good plan, apparently. So more than happy to finalise this one and put it on the plans for future.
I'd just like to say, back years ago when there was a golf course there, we looked at, there was a plan come out of that, but it's really nice to see that this has come to fruit now. It's actually really good, so good for the municipality and good for the... I think it's going to be far superior than what the original plan of the old golf course
was. We could have had a golf.
There was a golf course all through there. Yeah.
Right. Mm. There you go.
I was a member, mate.
Yeah, we joined up.
$10.
Thank you. Is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 17.4 is a proposal to develop a term plan for 2026 to 2030, and I'll hand over to the CEO.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm not quite sure why I'm creating more work for ourselves, but this is one that I've spoken to a number of you about. It is a legislative requirement in some states in Australia to have an annual plan, a term plan and a 10-year plan. The term plan being the four-year plan between elections. Devonport did it last time, and I know from speaking to other CEOs that a number of councils are likely to do it this time. Some of the reasons for it are just helping to keep continuity after elections, to help new councillors understand, you know, what's planned and what's in process and budgeted for. I think at a really practical level, you would see that we have our 10-year plan, and for 3 or 4 years, it's pretty accurate. Once you get too far beyond that, you know, in that period, things move around and you get grants. But for 3 or 4 years, you can look at our 10-year capital plan and you'd be pretty close. So the level of detail is not huge, but what you have is effectively setting what the priorities are, strategic priorities, advocacy priorities over that period, and the main capital projects in there. So the proposal, if council want us to is that, staff prepare a draft. You could approach it different ways, but probably the simplest way is to have some workshops on the draft and potentially before an election endorse it as a draft. If you want to be bold, you could endorse it holus bolus, but potentially endorse it as a draft, and then the new council that's elected has that as the draft endorsed by the previous council, can workshop it, see if they're comfortable with it or want any changes, and then endorse it as a term plan. I think it's quite useful, as well as for councillors, for staff, to have a clear plan for that period. But it's also, certainly if you prepare it in an attractive document, as the likes of Devonport have done, quite a handy document for new residents, for businesses that are looking at investing, even for government, to get quite a clear picture of here's what's going to happen over the next 4 years in this municipality. So, yeah, that's the summary. If anyone has any questions, but I'm effectively asking if you want us to prepare a draft rather than just going off and doing it without asking.
Councillors, any questions of James on the term plan? Councillor Della Torre.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Wholly supportive of the idea. I think the only question I had was how do you anticipate receiving the views of councillors if the officers are doing the draft plan?
So I think what we would do is prepare an early draft based on the work we already have. So, for example, the 10-year plan, which has quite recently been worked on, we'd effectively export the first 4 years out of that, you know, and that would provide a basis. And using our strategic plan as well. So we'd build it up and then we'd have something to sit down and workshop with councillors. So we'd bring it in a fairly...
very draft,
flexible. Yeah, yeah, not a complete document by any means, but, you know, you guys have already approved quite a lot of things that we would put straight in there. So we'd bring it to you in a shape and a form that looks broadly like a term plan, and then we can go from there.
Councillor Owen.
I'm just wondering through you, Mayor, is this to be done internally or externally?
Internally, yep. We'd probably, you know, if it got to a point of endorsement, we'd probably get some graphic design externally to make it, you know, a really nice document, but the work would be internal. It's really work that we've already done, it's shaping it into that four-year plan as opposed to other pieces of work that we've already got.
Yeah, you certainly have a better handle on it than an external.
Oh, definitely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, it would be internal.
Thank you.
Councillor Curran.
I actually think this is a really good idea. And if we workshop it, then councillors can also have input into it. And I think in the long term it gives the next council a sort of a template to work to. That, I mean, they can change it if they want to, but it gives them an idea of what our thinking was, where we think things should be heading. So I personally think it's a great idea.
Question from me, is it still almost a living document? I mean, opportunities pop up every now and again. Normally around election cycles, of course. Mm. But, I mean, is it a living document that something becomes more of a priority during that particular period and that term plan can then be amended? I've obviously seen Devonport's and they really do love it. Yeah. But I'm not concerned, but I'm just reticent in regards to those things that could change.
Yeah, so there's probably two answers to that. I think the first one is, I think we should be, even our long-term plans, we should be every 2 years, basically, unless there's a real reason to do it separate to that, but we should be reviewing them. So even our 10-year plan, you know, once 2 years have gone, we should be reviewing it because things will have shifted. So I would see the term plan as the same. We should be doing a proper review with council midterm, so 2 years.
Yeah.
We could write that into it if councillors wanted to. And the second answer is that it partly relates to what level of detail we choose for the term plan. So again, if you look at Devonport's, it's not getting right down to the annual plan level of everything you'll do.
Yep.
It's sort of the larger capital projects that are planned, and even some of them are qualified with contingent on success with external funding.
Yep.
And so, you know, you'd probably find when you did the review that there might not be massive changes, but as you've said, for example, I mean, even in the last 3 months, some of our strategic priorities have shifted because of information that's come out of the federal government that has changed what some of our priorities look like. So, yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So wouldn't you add in that subject to changes, you know, like funding? You know,
yeah,
external
absolutely.
Funding. So if you just put them words in there, and all these things are subject to that, so that would cover you. So
yeah,
because they are. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Councillors, is there any further questions? Councillor Della Torre.
More a question on the motion rather than the content. I'm wondering whether we should change the motion in some way so as to only endorse a draft plan. Put that in the motion now. The new council will endorse the plan on election. I don't think it's fair for us to dictate the term plan for the next council. Yeah,
no.
We'd be very brave to try. but I wonder whether that should form part of our motion at the initial stage.
Well, the motion that Janine has put up there...
It is just a workshop, isn't it?
Is effectively us preparing a draft for discussion at a workshop.
Yep.
So
we can have another motion later.
That probably covers that angle.
Yep. That's fair.
And I concur. Yeah, it is certainly... would endorse a draft, so they've got something to work on. You'd hope that they'd take our learned opinion and say, absolutely, but you never know. They could be of a totally different mindset. Thank you. Councillors, there's a recommendation on page 28... moved by Councillor Gidd, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Councillor Gidd.
No, I've already spoken. I think it's a terrific Thank idea you. For the new people coming, if there is any.
I think it's such a good move.
Thank you. Councillor Owens.
Yeah, I totally agree. The funny thing is I do sort of feel like we do have this ready, and like we've worked on them, and then when we do all our dots now, bits and pieces, mm-hmm. which is great, but I think there's something about it having condensed, a bit like when you... No, a 10-year plan just sounds so far away all the time. It feels like you're just sort of throwing things out there. This is much more focused. I think everyone from, you know, BIAG going, what's happening in the community, through to when we represent the council and being able to talk with great clarity. But as was said, I think something a bit more compact so that people are more likely to engage within our community to see what's actually going on. You know, I think it, even though it feels somewhat done, I think it really hones in and we can focus on what grants really need to be targeted and whatnot, so yeah, just creates a much more focused feel, so I'm certainly for it.
Mm. Cool, thank you.
Yep.
Is there anything further? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Against? Carried unanimously. Thank you. That concludes our meeting for the month of December. Thank you very much for your attendance and hope everyone has a very Merry Christmas and a great 2026. Thank you very much.